Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome. You are listening to AfterSight. This recording is intended solely for individuals who are blind or have low vision.
Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith, amateur radio operator W0NX, featuring the December 2024 The Spectrum Monitor. We'll begin with RF Current, news from the world of communications by Ken Reitz, KS4ZR. 2024, Boeing's very bad year gets worse. A door plug blew off midair from one of Boeing's 737 MAX 9 passenger jets in January. Two astronauts have been stranded on the International Space Station since June because of a malfunctioning Boeing-built Starliner space transport vehicle. Boeing was involved in a labor dispute involving 33,000 union machinists from September to November. And in October, a Boeing-built communication satellite blew up 23,000 miles in space, creating a debris field in which up to 57 pieces are now said to be tracked by the U.S. Space Force. The satellite, IntelSat-33E, which served customers in Europe, Africa, and parts of the Asia-Pacific region, was declared a total loss by Boeing in a press release dated October 21st. A failure review board has been convened to complete a comprehensive analysis of the cause of the anomaly. IntelSat has been in active dialogue with affected customers and partners. Migration and service restoration plans are well underway across the IntelSat fleet and third-party satellites, the press release said. The Boeing Space Systems satellite was launched in 2016 and entered service in January 2017, offering customers a mix of C, Ka, and Ku band transponders. It had been in use less than 8 years. Satellites such as this have an expected lifespan of more than 15 years. At the time the satellite entered service, IntelSat noted, "The IntelSat EPIC platform will provide 3 to 5 times more capacity per satellite than the traditional IntelSat fleet. The expected throughput of the satellites will vary according to application and satellite, but is expected to be in the range of 25 to 60 Gbps, typically 10 times more than traditional spacecraft. IntelSat President Scott Butler was quoted in the press release saying, "The coverage IntelSat-33E provides is ideal to support U.S. Department of Defense mobility applications, and means deployed forces in these regions will benefit from the same game-changing performance and efficiency that IntelSat EPIC already delivers in the Americas and the North Atlantic." He was referring to IntelSat-29E, which unfortunately was declared a total loss in 2019 after just 3 years in orbit, failure of which was reported in Space News as either a meteoroid impact or a wiring flaw that led to an electrostatic discharge following heightened solar weather activity. According to Space News, a spokesperson for IntelSat said that IntelSat-33E was not insured. The report also stated that Douglas Hendricks, CEO of ExoAnalytic Solutions, said the U.S.-based space tracking company identified 57 pieces of debris October 21st associated with the breakup. In a press release on October 15th, NASA said that the Solar Cycle Prediction Panel had announced that the Sun had reached its maximum period, noting, "The most powerful flare of the solar cycle so far was an X9.0 on October 3rd. X class denotes the most intense flares, while the number provides more information about its strength. Boeing stock, which started 2024 at $250 per share, bottomed out at $138 per share on November 15th. New round of job cuts at troubled iHeartMedia and Cumulus Media. Nothing says happy holidays like a pink slip. Touted as the biggest owner of U.S. commercial radio stations, iHeartMedia, which has just emerged from Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection, announced what some media watchers have suggested is its biggest round of layoffs in almost 4 years. The company didn't release any numbers, but it's known that at least 40 big names in at least 22 markets have been let go, according to a report in Radio Insight, an online trade journal, which only announces names of those who have gone public with their exits. An iHeartMedia spokesperson told Billboard magazine that their broadcast radio audience has more listeners than it did 10 years ago. iHeart stock began the year trading at $2.66 per share. As of mid-November, it was trading at $2.32 per share. Cumulus Media, which owns more than 400 stations in 87 markets in the U.S., joined in the holiday spirit, according to online industry trade journal Radio Inc., where cuts to Cumulus staff include layoffs at 24 radio clusters. Cumulus stock, which began 2024 at $4.97 per share, now trades at $0.71 per share. WNYC AM New York to test one-day all-digital AM. This month, New York City public radio station WNYC AM will experiment with the effects of transmitting an all-digital HD radio, referred to as the MA3 format by the FCC, on December 8th. According to the station's request for experimental authority submitted to the FCC, NYPR, New York Public Radio, intends for the test to serve two purposes. First, NYPR will use the test to evaluate the performance of the MA3 format in a major urban market. Second, the test will serve as an opportunity to assess interference between two co-channel all-digital AM stations in proximity markets. NYPR's test is likely to be of significant value to the broadcast and consumer electronics industries, as it will support the feasibility of WNYC's possible transition to all-digital AM transmissions. The test will be conducted in conjunction with representatives from Xperi Incorporated, proprietor of the HD radio MA3 format technology, and the National Association of Broadcasters, NAB. WNYC is a Class B station operating on 820 kHz at 10 kilowatts directional during daytime hours and 1 kilowatt directional during nighttime hours. The test will occur over the course of a single day, Sunday, December 8th, 2024. WNYC will primarily operate in the daytime period under its daytime technical parameters, but NYPR expects that the test may also extend for roughly an hour into the nighttime period, in which case WNYC will operate in accordance with its nighttime parameters. It's fitting that WNYC AM is experimenting with on-air broadcasting. The station was first on the air July 8, 1924, and is wrapping up its centennial year. The radio station began its broadcasting life owned by the City of New York. An article titled Radio, the Voice of the City, which appears in the January 1925 issue of Radio Broadcast Magazine, notes, when WNYC sends out its evening call from the high Gothic tower of the municipal building on Lower Manhattan Island, it speaks with the voice of the only American city which commands a place on the air. The station, which included an elaborate reception room and studio, was put together by then-Mayor John F. Hyland with $50,000 of public money, $912,000 in today's currency. In the beginning, the station aired city council meetings, and every night a policeman would take to the microphone and say, "WNYC broadcasting for the New York Police Department." The announcements contained general alarms to the citizens of New York to be on the lookout for. There was also an educational component, which attempted to link all 632 city public schools at the time, all of which fell within the station's signal. Part of WNYC's current experiment deals with another station also broadcasting in MA3 format and on 820 kHz, WSHE-AM, Frederick, Maryland, formerly WFFD-AM. WSHE operates 24/7 in MA3 and is aware of the WNYC test, which will take place. WSHE-AM, owned by Hubbard Broadcasting, is also a Class B station, but it is operating at 4.3 kilowatts daytime and 430 watts at night, using a non-directional antenna during the day and a two-tower directional array at night. The station's musical format is called the gamut, a somewhat incoherent blend of familiar formats that include oldies, top 40, adult contemporary, punk, folk music, and more, with no apparent connection. Recently heard in this order: Panic at the Disco, 2004-23. The Violent Femmes, 1981-2009 and 2013-present. Strawberry Alarm Clock, 1967-75. Elvis Presley, 1953-77. Iggy Pop, 1963-present. Mercy Creek, 1998-present. And Fluffy, 1994-98. And now the shortwave listener by Fred Waterer, programming_matters@yahoo.ca. Christmas on shortwave around the world. Well, that year went quickly. Just when we are getting used to 2024 and have it nicely worn in, bang, another newer year is about to begin. December is a time to both look back and look forward. With many seasonal and special programs, it's a great time to listen to the radio, including but not exclusively Christmas and all its attendant festivities. As we tend to do each year, this month we'll take a look at many of these programs. It's not a comprehensive list, but there is bound to be something of interest at this time of year. Broadcasting as we know it was probably born on December 24, 1906. Reginald Fessenden claims to have made the first voice broadcast on radio from Brant Rock, Massachusetts. According to Fessenden, the program began at 9 p.m. with CQ, CQ, CQ in Morse code. Fessenden himself gave a brief speech, and then Handel's Largo was played on an Edison phonograph. Fessenden followed up with O Holy Night on his violin. At the conclusion, Fessenden wished his listeners a Merry Christmas. The problem seems to be that there is no documentary evidence that anyone actually heard it. No news reports, no pithy, too much talk, not enough rock reviews. Nevertheless, 118 years later, broadcasting at Christmas and year-round is going strong. Some of my favorite Christmas memories are of stumbling onto an unusual program quite by accident. In the 1990s, just tuning around, I stumbled onto a broadcast from 4VEH in Haiti, which was a dramatic reading from the Bible recounting Jesus' birth. It was beautiful in its simplicity of presentation. Another time I heard a Maori choir from New Zealand. You just never know what you might hear. It is also a time for regular annual favorites. CBC Radio 1 presents a special edition of As It Happens each year, which includes messages from Canadian Forces personnel to their families, and concludes with the annual reading of the Shepherd, A supernatural story about a lost RAF pilot on Christmas Eve. Tune in at 6:30 p.m. local on Tuesday, December 24th. Another Canadian favorite was the programming of CHML in Hamilton, Ontario. Sadly, earlier this year, the Luddites at Chorus Entertainment unceremoniously pulled the plug midday on the entire station. One program they aired was A Paul Reed Christmas. Have a look online for it. You'll thank me. Clear Channel, CHWO 740 in Toronto, will air some old-time radio Christmas editions. Many of us of a certain vintage would listen to the BBC World Service all day on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. Longtime favorites include The King's Christmas Message, which can be heard at various times around the world via the BBC, CBC, ABC, and RNZ. Listen live on the 25th via BBC World Service or BBC Radio 4 at 1502 UTC. King Charles continues a tradition that was originated by his great-grandfather, King George V, in 1932. A BBC World Service Christmas Eve tradition, the Festival of Nine Lessons and Carols, is broadcast live from the Chapel of King's College, Cambridge. It can be heard at 1502 to 1630 UTC. As well as airing on the World Service, it should be available on demand on multiple BBC websites. It is a BBC tradition since 1928. I'm not sure if you've heard of this internet all the kids are talking about, but most BBC radio networks are available 24/7 and archived online. Poke around BBC Radio 4 and 4 Extra for other longtime World Service specials from our past. Click around the other networks for great music and seasonal specials. For instance, Radio 2 presents a documentary on December 2nd, marking the 40th anniversary of Live Aid and Do They Know It's Christmas? Well, I feel old. Vatican Radio and WEWN, to a certain extent, will bring you the activities of Pope Francis and the Vatican at Christmas. Vatican Radio can be surprisingly interesting and varied. Tune in for English at 1630 UTC on 13,830 and 15,565 kHz and at 2000 UTC on 9,705 and 11,870 kHz. Those may be summer frequencies, best double-check. In the Southern Hemisphere, it is summertime, conjuring up images of sun, surf, and Santa in a Speedo. Oh, dear. Radio stations in the region, such as RAE Argentina and Radio New Zealand, commonly air summer replacement shows while regular programming goes on hiatus. One of those summer shows from down south, mentioned earlier, is a treat from Radio New Zealand called Matinee Idol. It runs on weekdays from December 26th to January 10th this year. It's kind of Dr. Demento meets the BBC. Phil O'Brien and Simon Morris spin some great and grating tracks in a very entertaining way. It usually airs about 0:00 UTC. Shortwave might be iffy at that time, but it sounds awesome online at radionz.co.nz. Lots of news this month via Jeff White from WRMI. Of course, Radio Prague International and Radio Slovakia International always have a lot of Christmas features in December, so be on the lookout for that. By the way, both of these stations have renewed their relay contracts with WRMI for 2025, so we'll continue airing them in both English and Spanish, and Slovak from Slovakia next year. Look for Radio Slovakia International in English at 0:30 UTC on 5,850 and 15,770 kHz in Radio Prague at 2330 UTC on 5,850 kHz, as well as 0400 UTC on 9,955 kHz, among various other times and frequencies. I once described Radio Prague as your Christmas station, Fred. During December, WRMI will broadcast special Christmas programs of the Tabernacle Choir of Salt Lake City, Utah, formerly known as the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Saturday, December 7th, 14th, 21st, and 28th, at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time, 0430 UTC Sunday, on 9,395 kHz. December 7th, Christmas Day in the Morning with Richard Thomas. December 14th, Christmas Organ Pipes. December 21st, The Messiah Story. December 28th, Christmas in the Air, narrated by Tom Brokaw. On November 3rd, WRMI's frequent radio drama producer from Prince Edward Island, Canada, Reverend Martin Dawson, began a radio mystery theater series with shows from the 1940s like Lights Out, Escape, and Quiet Please. WRMI continues with more old-time radio mystery theater dramas with another trilogy of episodes from Inner Sanctum, The Whistler, and The Mysterious Traveler on November 30th, December 7th, and 14th at 1300 UTC on 15,770 kHz and 11 p.m. Eastern Time, 0400 UTC Sunday, on 9,395 kHz. So sit back, turn down your lights, and enjoy the glow of the bulb of the old radio dial while listening to these classics from the 1940s. Just in time, here is the info on the last two old-time mystery radio theater programs for 2024. These are the ones on Saturdays at 1300 UTC on 15,770 and 11 p.m. Eastern Time on 9,395. The December 21st program will be a Christmas special called Suspense Radio Show from 1958. It's got suspense, but it is indeed a Christmas special. Then the final program of the year on December 28th will be Broadway's My Beat Radio Show from 1949. Fred Waterer's note, I love theater of the mind. From 2012 to 14, I hosted a program called The Radio Time Capsule. December 2012 was the time of the Mayan apocalypse nonsense. I did an end-of-the-world Christmas party featuring Superman Episode 1, Krypton Blows Up, War of the Worlds, you know that one, and music included Goodbye Cruel World, It's the End of the World as We Know It, and Weird Al's Christmas at Ground Zero, all while pretending to broadcast from a bunker, which was really my kitchen table. Theater of the mind. That was a lot of fun. Here's the info on the WaveScan Christmas and New Year shows. December 22nd, KWHR and events around the world on Christmas Day. We'll remember shortwave station KWHR, which broadcast from Hawaii for 15 years, from 1993 to 2008, having been inaugurated on Christmas Day, 1993. This feature will include some interesting information from Doug Garlinger, who was chief engineer at the station. Events on Christmas Day have included first performance of I'm Dreaming of a White Christmas by Bing Crosby on NBC Kraft Music Hall in 1941, special Christmas program with a local boys choir by KGW Portland, Oregon on Christmas Day, 1922. We'll continue this article next time. Thank you for joining us for Hobby Radio, read by Keith.
If you enjoyed this program, please register for our free services at www.aftersight.org or by calling 303-786-7777.